different. We are one.
Different indeed. A brief snippet from a new opera by Derek Wang, chronicling the friendship between two iconic figures in American history, Supreme Court Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the late Antonin Scalia, who passed away in 2016. The opera is called Scalia-Ginsburg, and it'll receive its local premiere tonight at the Baltimore Concert Opera. Baltimore Concert Opera is an opera company that breaks the mold. They don't present fully staged productions with costumes and sets and a full orchestra, but over the last 10 years, their presentations of both classic operatic fare and lesser-known works have attracted a strong following. Their productions, including the ones that they'll be offering this weekend, consistently sell out. And as of the 1st of September, an all-women leadership team, unusual in classical music, including artistic and general director Julia Cook and music director Rochelle Junk, will guide Baltimore Concert Opera into the future. The future of opera, like any art form, depends in part on cultivating fans of not just the standard canon, but newer additions to the repertoire as well. In addition to Derek Wang's new opera, this weekend's fair at BCO includes an operetta by Gilbert and Sullivan. Derek Wang now joins me in Studio A. It's good to see you, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Tom.
So this is an opera that's gotten plenty of performances all around the country about Scalia and Ginsburg, the justices from the Supreme Court. You have not just a passing interest in the law, as well as being a composer. Talk about the way your career has molded.
Certainly. So in addition to being a composer and a librettist, I also studied law and I practiced law. And so that was the genesis of the opera Scalia-Ginsburg. I was in constitutional law, taking the course my first year, as one does, and reading case after case after Supreme Court case, as one does, when I realized that the most dramatic things that I was reading in those books always came after three particular words, Scalia, Jay, dissenting. And therefore, inspired by that and the counterpoint with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's opinions, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to write an opera about the two of them, as one does?
Because you've also studied music in addition to studying law. I mean, you're not just a passing amateur with music. You took it quite seriously.
Something like that, yes. I have a degree or two in music and in composition as well, and composing has always been a great interest of mine, as well as writing lyrics and libretti.
Speaking of that, let's listen to a little clip. This is a sort of a medley kind of thing where we'll first hear from Justice Scalia in your opera and then Justice Ginsburg.
The justices are blind. How can they possibly spout this? The Constitution says absolutely nothing about this. Searching in vain for a bright line solution to a problem that isn't so easy to solve. But the beautiful thing about our Constitution is that, like our society, it can evolve.
An excerpt from Derek Wang's new opera, Scalia-Ginsburg. So your source for the libretto that you've put together for this sounds to me like a lot of direct quotes from opinions from both of these justices.
That's correct. Direct quotes or paraphrases. Basically, it occurred to me that if I was to write an opera about the Supreme Court, why not structure the script of it in the same way that a court opinion would be structured? In other words, because a Supreme Court opinion is built on precedent, meaning that it relies on landmark decisions and text from the past in order to create a contemporary result, I wanted to do the same thing. And so therefore, the script of the opera draws on things that the two justices actually said and wrote. And the music in turn, as you can hear, draws also on the grand landmark traditions of opera.
Yeah, so traditions of both the opera and the law.
Operatic precedent.
Yeah, that's fantastic. They had a chance, when Justice Scalia was still alive, they had a chance to hear this opera back in 2013.
That's correct.
Tell us about that experience.
Sure. I mean, so I was a student, mind-wandering, writing an opera about the Supreme Court, and one thing led to another, and involving a very kind professor of mine who was involved with the Washington National Opera, with the supernumeraries, of whom Justices Ginsburg and Scalia were too. And
they're the people who come on the stage, don't sing, but they carry the spear. And they.
So you will find online fun photos of the two justices, you know, dressed up in wigs and fancy costumes as they appear once in a while in these productions. And so ultimately, I was very kindly invited to the Supreme Court to present for the two of them. And I brought some singers with me. And we presented three numbers from the opera, and they were very kind, very receptive. And the two of them came back again later when we had an excerpt done by the Washington National Opera, Domingo Cavert's Young Artist Program.
They both loved opera. They were opera fanatic. Justice Ginsburg still is an opera fanatic, Mr. Justice Scalia as well. And they both loved each other. This was a very close friendship, wasn't it? Is that something that was an animating arc for you when you were writing this piece about them?
Well, certainly. I mean, there was the idea of writing the opera about them and then realizing that it could be structured in the way that they had structured their own work as judges. And then realizing that, of course, the heart of the story was the fact that they had this great friendship that crossed ideological boundaries. And, of course, the cherry on top was the fact that a big part of their friendship was their shared love of opera. So there's a lot of self-reference going on in this opera.
This opera has received performances all over the place. As you mentioned, the Cafritz program, the Glimmerglass Opera, Toledo, New Hampshire. It's going to be performed later this spring up in Delaware at Opera Delaware. As a composer, it's a very vulnerable thing, isn't it? You write this piece, and then you hand it over to a music director, a stage director, and a company, and they've got to put it on. And it's kind of, in a way, in their hands at that juncture. How has the piece sort of evolved in your thinking? How has the piece held up, you know, since it started being performed, you know, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, it's a great question. As I like to tell people, in my view, this particular opera is an evolving document, but luckily I get to decide when it evolves and then when it freezes and when it's set. And after the passing of Justice Scalia in 2016, with the upcoming production at the Glimmerglass Festival in 2017, it seemed like a very apt time to go back and revisit the piece. And what I ended up doing was revising about a third of it to reflect what
had happened. So it did change pretty substantially.
It changed pretty substantially, which means that if you have seen, you know, for those of you who were kind enough to come see at the Castleton Festival, you can see a whole new version now. But certainly it was important to me to take some of what had happened since the world premiere into context. And I hope that the audience will be able to see and hear what that means.
Yeah, I mean, you're still around, so you can make changes. I mean, Verdi and Mozart and Wagner don't have that capacity at the moment. So if you're here, you might as well do it. I mean, do you expect and anticipate that perhaps, you know, in 2 years you'll revise it again and keep playing with it?
Not at the moment, but never say never. I did have a Supreme Court litigator once joke to me that this could end up being the first opera with pocket parts. So meaning for lawyers, when you have a legal, you know, reference book every year, they kind of send you this updated booklet that you stick in the back.
That
tells you sort
of
how to change it. So.
You are actually teaching some interdisciplinary courses at the Peabody Institute concerning law and music. What is the impetus of those courses? What are you trying to teach these young musicians at Peabody?
Well, the basic goal is to introduce the students to the fundamentals of law that would apply perhaps most closely to their own work. So that would deal with copyright law as it applies to music, the basics of contracts, and the basics of starting one's own organization, which is something that these students
and very important for a young musician. All right, well, Derek Wang, Break a Leg this weekend. It's great to have you come in. Thanks.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Derek Wang is the composer of Scalia Ginsburg, which will receive its Baltimore premiere tonight at 7:30, again Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Engineers Club in Mount Vernon. Derek's opera is paired with the great Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, Trial by Jury. Now, these performances are sold out, but we understand Baltimore Concert Opera is keeping a wait list, so come to our website, wypr.org/midday, and we'll have a link for more information. That's it for us today. Coming up Monday on Midday, a conversation about the state of leadership in our city. Mayor Catherine Pugh is on an indefinite leave of absence amid mounting questions about unethical behavior while in office. Conflicts of interest that were undisclosed for years at the University of Maryland Medical System by the mayor and several others have called into question the ethical compass of government officials and executives at private companies and nonprofit organizations alike. Catalina Byrd, Davon Love, and Sean Yost will join me to talk about it Monday on Midday. We want to thank Bottoms Up Bagels for providing lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s. Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. You can find them at the Waverly Farmers Market and at bottomsupbagels.com. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknell. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produce our program. Jamila Kremple's our digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Our interns are Morgan Ome and Abba Amoa. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Look forward to being with you next week. Have a great weekend.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.